Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you hungry for something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part one of The Blessings of Justification. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Paul, having established that it is by faith alone in Jesus Christ, apart from any elements of the law, he's established that now, that he's, you know, built this just rock solid case for justification by faith, showing that this is the way that God's always justified people, going back, as we've seen, to Abraham and to David. He now immediately begins to expound on the blessings of justification. So we've been justified by faith alone in Christ, but what are the ramifications of that? What flows to us from that justification? And he begins here in verses 1 and 2 by listing for us three things. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And Paul goes on, but we want to concentrate on those three things: peace with God, access to grace, and hope in the glory of God. So these are the blessings now of our justifications. These are the things that flow to us from our having put our faith in Christ. Peace with God. Our natural sinful state and our willful acts of rebellion put us in a place of enmity with God. So that's where we were previously. We were in a place of enmity with God. And Paul declares this many times over in his epistles. Right in this fifth chapter, down in the 10th verse, he makes reference to the fact that it was when we were enemies. So he uses that strong term, we were enemies. And it was when we were enemies that God reconciled us to himself. In writing to the Colossians, he says, and you who were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. So he's saying we now have peace with God, but that reminds us of where we previously were. We were formerly God's enemies. And then in writing to the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, he refers to us there as the children of wrath. The children of wrath. We were previously, before having been justified, we were under the wrath of God. The wrath of God, remember back in chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And we were the recipients to some degree of God's wrath. And had we remained in that state, we would have experienced the full wrath of God. So that's where we were. But having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God. So the war is over. We're no longer in that place of enmity. We're no longer living lives that would cause the wrath of God to come upon us. But now we're living in this new relationship with God that Paul describes as peace with God. And in looking at what that implies, or the experience that ensues from peace with God, there are three things there as well. Number one, there is a reconciliation. Now, I won't spend too much time on reconciliation because Paul is going to go further into it a little bit further down in the fifth chapter. But this is what's implied with having peace with God. There's a reconciliation that's taken place. What's reconciliation mean? It means to bring together two parties formerly at enmity with one another. So that's where we were. But now we've been reconciled to God. We've been brought together. And so there's no longer that hostility that exists between the two parties. There's been a reconciliation. And with the reconciliation, there has come communion. So we now have communion with God. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, he says similar things. He just says it in slightly different ways. But there, as he's talking about, you know, our former state, as I've already alluded to it there, being the children of wrath. But then, as he describes it there, he talks about how, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom all of us at one time conducted ourselves, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But, here's the great news, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together in Christ. He's reconciled us to himself, and he's brought us into communion. So now we have communion. We have this fellowship. We share in this intimate relationship with God. And the other thing that would proceed from that communion would be harmony. So now we're living harmoniously with God. We're living in harmony with him. There's no longer discord, but there's this beautiful harmony that exists between us and God. And this is the fruit of justification: peace with God, reconciliation, communion, harmony. And you know, these things experientially are so wonderful. Let's not forget that a relationship is about an experience with somebody else. You know, if I say I have a relationship with somebody, but I really have no actual experience with them, do I really have a relationship with them? You know, there's got to be a connection. And this is what we have with the Lord. We have an experience with him. And, you know, the reason I bring this up is because I think sometimes our relationship, it's sort of reduced just to, it's reduced to more just sort of information and knowledge and, you know, that sort of thing. Of course, a relationship, to some extent, does have those elements, information, knowledge. You can't have a relationship with somebody if you don't know them, and you have to be informed by them and so forth. But, you know, sometimes I think as Christians, this thing that we have, that we entered into by faith in Jesus, I think in the early stages, it really starts out in the truest sense of a relationship where we have this experience with God and this wonderful, you know, encounter and these feelings and his presence. But then at a certain point, something happens and it sort of degenerates into just kind of information in our head. So we know a lot about God, but the question is, do we really have an experience with him? You know, in the days that we're living in, more and more and more, I just believe that we're going to need to lean on and really seek a deeper experience with the Lord. And even as we reach out to the world, even as we seek to get the gospel out to people, we're going to have to present more than theories. We're going to have to present more than just arguments. I mean, I'm all for argument, you know, for the sake of truth and the gospel. I'm all for that. But, you know, there's a point where it's got to be more than that. We've got to be introducing people to God, the person, so that they can have a relationship. But are we experiencing that relationship? We've been reconciled. Do we have communion with God? Are we living harmoniously with him? Do we have that experience with him working in our lives, where we can see his hand, where we can see that he's moving, where, you know, we're hearing his voice. He's speaking to us through his word. And one of the ways that we experience God is through prayer and watching God answer our prayers. You know, when you pray for something specifically and God answers it right down to the very thing you prayed for, that's an experience. You just go, wow, that's amazing. And over the past, I don't know, couple of months or so, there's so many things I can look back on, and there are things that God told me, pray about this, and I had to pray very specifically about certain things, and then to watch them just unfold right before my eyes, it's amazing. It's like, wow, this is great. I'm having an experience with God. I'm seeing God answer right down to the smallest detail the things that I've been asking him about. The other day, I was praying for a particular person, and I was praying something very specific for them. And a few days later, in a sort of a random conversation, they said to me, well, you know, I just have been feeling this way, and I can't go into detail on it, but they just described exactly what I had prayed for them about. Exactly. And I just sat there with sort of a smile on my face going, wow, Lord, you are so good. Because I didn't have to say a word. I didn't have to give a lecture. I didn't have to do any of that kind of stuff. I just prayed and you answered. So having been justified, we have peace with God, which means we have this relationship. We have this experience with God. We've been reconciled. We've got communion, harmony. But then Paul goes on and he says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Having been justified by faith in Christ, now through him we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We have access to an unlimited supply of grace. There's no limit on God's supply of grace. It is unlimited. And here's how I want you to picture God's grace. I want you to picture it like the Pacific Ocean. We are standing in an ocean of grace. Now, would you walk down to the water's edge, and for one moment, would you stand there and think, you know, I don't think there's enough water out there for me. You would never think that, right? That thought would never cross your mind. Because why? There's a vast ocean out before you. It's unlimited. That's how God's grace is. God's grace is unlimited. And we notice what Paul's saying here. We stand in it. I like this picture. There's two aspects to it, I think. But the first one is we just stand in God's grace. You know, you go stand out in the ocean, just go out about waist deep and just stand there, and you're going to find that you're just going to be, over and over again, you're going to be submerged in the waves. That's a picture of God's grace. Now, since this is true, how is it that we tend to think in our heads that God's run out of grace for us? But we do think that, don't we? We're tempted to think that quite often. So many Christian people, people who have been justified, who have peace with God, so many people live with the idea that God's grace has run out for them, or it's just about run out for them, or there's a very limited supply that is left. So many people live in condemnation and doubt of God's love for them. I had a lengthy conversation with a man yesterday, and I've had several conversations with him, and every time we talk, I listen to his story, and I get blessed by his story. It's a wonderful testimony. But he's battled with sickness and stuff over the years. And at some point in his life, things have gotten a little bit murky. Sunday morning, I was trying to describe kind of what happened with Job. And I used the word fuzzy. And a girl afterwards was talking to me. And she said, "You know, you said fuzzy." And she said, "But I think murky is a better word." And I said, "You're right. I wish you would have told me that before I gave the message." But I like that, murky. Murky, that is a meaningful word to me. But this is what happens. The love of God, the grace of God, it sort of gets murky because of, you know, things that happen in our lives. And so, you know, here's a man who loves God. Here's a man who knows the Lord. Here's a man who wants to do God's will and, you know, so forth. And yet, in the back of his mind, he's thinking, God must have given up on me. The grace must have run out because I've failed so many times. And, you know, and I just said to him, I said, "Listen, the grace hasn't run out. There's an abundance of grace. It's right there. God loves you. You're fine. Just go forward." But the enemy wants to stop us. And if he can't stop us through, you know, getting us caught up in sin, then he's going to try to stop us by condemning us for our failures. People have different personalities, obviously. Some people are, you know, not really analytical at all, and other people are, you know, more analytical, and some people are hyper-analytical. And you know, the people who are hyper-analytical, it's a personality thing, but they tend to just, you know, they're always looking at themselves critically, and they're always, you know, you can find faults with yourself. For some people, it's much easier than others. But, you know, you can find fault with yourself. And then you just, you know, the enemy comes along, and he just starts beating you over the head with those things. But listen, there is an ocean of grace that you're standing in. And that grace is there to just keep washing over you. That's the picture that we need to get. That's what we need to understand. But notice what Paul says here, because it's important from the practical standpoint. He says that we have access by faith into this grace. So he's talking to believers. He's talking to people who have put their faith in Christ, were justified. And now he's talking about this unlimited supply of grace, but it's accessed by faith. You see, this is the thing that we've got to do. We have got to believe that it's there. That's what we've got to do. We've got to believe it. The enemy will try to persuade us that it's not there, or it's not available, or we can no longer have access to it, or whatever. I'll tell you honestly, I was praying, and a couple things that I wasn't happy with myself about, and I wasn't happy with them because I thought, "Lord, I don't think that was really pleasing to you or glorifying to you." And so, you know, I'm starting to just kind of share that with the Lord and kind of confess that. And right at the same time, there's this thought that, oh, come on, you know, you think it's that easy? You think you can just say, I'm sorry, and God's going to forgive you? I mean, come on. And, you know, I'm starting to, this is kind of the warfare thing that goes on in your head, you know. So I'm going along, and this little battle's going on, and all of a sudden, the Lord just said, what are you teaching on tonight? I'm teaching on an ocean of grace. And the Lord said, okay, just jump in it right now. It's okay. You know? And seriously, it freed me up because I could see where the enemy wanted to just distract me with that. I was stuck wallowing in my own failure. And the Lord's just like, no, here's a wave. Let's just wash all of that away and just get up and keep going and move forward in your prayer. But this is the point. You have to appropriate it by faith. There's a point where you just have to accept it. You just have to believe it. You just have to say, okay, Lord, I'll take it. I'll take the grace. I believe that it's there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what he said. I got to believe it. If I don't believe it, doesn't mean it won't happen. It just means that I'll live in condemnation when I shouldn't. And that's what I think happens a lot of times. Remember the words of that great hymn, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt and stains. That is the truth. There's an endless supply of grace. There's an ocean of grace. We're standing in it, and the waves are coming, and we're being submerged in it. Just believe it. Just receive it. Just keep moving forward in the grace of God. You're standing in a sea of grace. That's what Paul says. But he says, in which we stand. This is how we stand. We stand in grace. If we don't stand in grace, we won't stand at all because we'll stumble and we'll fall. You know, one of the reasons why legalism, there's many reasons, but one of the reasons why legalism is so detrimental to us spiritually is because it gets us trusting in the flesh and not in the spirit. And sooner or later, we break down and fall down because we can't keep going in the flesh. Doesn't work. But God supplies us with grace to keep us standing. This is how I stand. I stand firm by the grace of God, that supply of grace that just keeps coming to me over and over again. It keeps me standing. And so, access by faith into this grace in which we stand. It enables us to continue to stand. But then Paul says, thirdly, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, the glory of God is a reference. It's Paul's way of really referring to what we would commonly call heaven. The glory of God is that place. It's the glorified state that we're moving toward. And so Paul says, having been justified by faith, this is what we have. We have peace with God. We have reconciliation, communion, harmony. We have this unlimited supply of grace that's keeping us standing. We're standing in it. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're going to heaven. We're going to be glorified. One day, we're going to be with the Lord. It's inevitable. It's a reality. It's inescapable. It's going to happen. You ever think about that? Do we realize that? We talk about heaven and we teach about heaven and, you know, but we're actually going to go to heaven. We're actually going to meet the Lord. It's going to happen. There's no escaping it. It's a wonderful thought, but it's a sobering thought too, isn't it? Wow, you know, I'm going to stand before the Lord. It's going to happen. It's inescapable. But having been justified by faith, freely through the grace that is in Christ Jesus, well, I'm not fearing that moment. I'm not dreading that moment. I'm not looking at that moment as an appointment with judgment, but I'm rejoicing in hope of the glory of God.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part two of The Blessings of Justification. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Blessings of Justification. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0119. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson, also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.